I'm now going to invite Mark Joy to come and be interviewed, which was a fairly daunting kind of prospect. So Mark's here today. He's going to be speaking to us from God's Word. But I'd love for you to know a little bit of his backstory as to why we've invited him to come and share with us today and what God's been doing in his life and around him. So welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Sweet. Microphone working all right?
Yeah.
Got a thumbs up from the back? Excellent. Yeah. We can hear you. Great. So let me fill you guys in on how Mark and I met. About the middle of last year, actually closer to August, I'd been walking the dog, and for those of you who are here at Kingsley, you know that we got a dog, I have to walk him, so therefore I have to go around our suburb. And as I do that, I pray, and I'd been praying and just feeling really burdened for the need for visible churches in the area in which I live, of which there aren't many floating around. So I'd just been praying about this, and then I went to a prayer meeting down at Warwick Stadium. And Mark's brother, Scott, is the manager of the stadium down there. And we were praying for that stuff that's going on down in that part of the world. But as we were praying, my heart was really still toward Banksy Grove. And I prayed about God doing something in that area. And Scott said to me after that, you really need to talk to my brother, Mark, because he's been looking quite closely at Banksy Grove. So I want you, Mark, to tell us, how did you come to be looking at Banksy Grove? What put that on your heart?
If you want to go all the way back, we'll go back... 19 years ago, when I was 15 years old, and I was at a particular meeting, and I surrendered my life at that time to serve full-time the Lord. I just wanted to be a missionary, I wanted to be a pastor, whatever it was, I wanted to do it. And so that's where it started, if you want to go all the way back there, and there's a process that's happened since, from being a youth pastor, an associate pastor, but especially the last 2 to 2.5 years, my wife and I have been particularly praying, you know, what's the next step? God, we're happy, we're just serving you wherever you have us, but, you know, we feel like there's something what else you'd have us to do. And so we've been praying about it nonstop since then, and I got introduced to a couple of, had a family we helped come along to the church I was a part of there, and they were living in Banksia Grove. And through them and through some other things, we started looking at that area and just praying for that area and just when I did my research, I was amazed that, you know, there's really no church there and that we could see at the time. And there's a really growing area. It's expanded, as you would know, from 2011 to now. We're from like 4,000 to 12,500, just booming. And we just started praying about it and just thought, you know, and then meeting more and more people. And it was just something sort of in the back of our mind that's somewhere looks like a good place on paper to start a new church. And then just over time, God made it real to us through scripture, confirming it to us, and then through people that we met, and some doors that he's opened, with meeting through some people with the schools and stuff like that. And it's just been a time and time again, we kind of went, are we sure about this? And God would just confirm it again. It always, when we were at our doubting moment, maybe he wants us to do something else, and something would come through again. Someone would meet, an opportunity would open, and just kind of like God knock on the door, going, no, I'm preparing this for you. It didn't happen as quick as we'd liked, but God's timing's always best.
That's the thing that certainly I've been learning over the years. You know, you walk and you pray and you pray, and nothing seems to happen, and then all of a sudden God answers a few prayers. And in August last year, all of a sudden in our lounge room, there was about 8 of us gathered around, all who had a heart for Banksy Grove. Some who were thinking, "Is this where God's calling us? We just want to check it out." Others who were already feeling really called to the area. So for you, team's important, and it's been great to pray together with Jeff and Sally Westlake, who have been in the area for a long time, and they've been part of the work up there. Who else has God kind of, not naming names, but are there other people who are looking at doing stuff with you?
Yeah, so I actually have the privilege of having two here, but my wife and her sister have gone out with the kids, but Ryan, which is my wife's brother-in-law, happens to be one of my closest friends. You know, we just figured, you know, we wanted to be related somehow. We'd just go for two sisters. I'm thankful for them. They've been incredible support and help, and they're right there with us. We have a couple of other people as well. This will seem very cliche, but my parents are helping us, and then a couple of other couples, young couples with kids. And so we've got a group of about 15 of us, not including kids, who are all ready to go first Sunday, and we're already doing some things together, and we've got another sort of meet and greet night coming up on the 2nd of March, and I've been walking around the neighbourhood the last slowly getting fit. Last 2 weeks walking around, and we've sort of got these reusable shopping bags because, you know, it's outlawed to have a plastic bag these days. So we've been going reusable shopping bags with the Grove Church, which is what we're calling it, and our website. And I've just been going around, giving them to people, talking to people, and it's really surprised. You give someone something for free, they're really friendly. And so it's been good. Yeah, so we're just in that prep stage, and yeah, and God's blessing us with more people, and it's great.
Sweet. So we've been thinking here at Kingsley over the last few weeks about the fact that God calls us not to be on our own, but to work together as part of a body and to see his life come out through us. So we're excited to see how it's happening for you guys in Banksy Grove. We'd love to hear some more of your heart behind that and some of the scriptural motivation behind that today. But before you share with us, why don't I pray for you? God, we're excited just to hear a little snapshot of the fact that you are working through groups of people who love Jesus and want to make disciples of all nations, just as we've prayed together today. Lord, thank you for the work that Mark and his team are a part of. Thank you that you have assembled a team and will continue to do that. And Lord, we just look forward to seeing how your kingdom advances. And together, as we look at your word today, as Mark shares with us, would you speak to all of us, because we are all part of the same team. And we work in different places and we work in different teams, but we're part of the one church that is seeking to see Jesus glorified everywhere around our world. And so would you encourage us and equip us in that work today, we pray, as Mark shares from your word. Amen. Amen. Thanks, mate.
Not to downplay at all the encouragement that your pastor has been to me. He has been incredible. God's blessed me with a couple of core people in this decision making. And does this tilt anymore? Yes. He has been an incredible, just nothing but encouraging, just excited to be able to pray and encourage us and help us in any way. And I'm really privileged to come and share with you this morning, and a privilege for his new friendship that has just been a real blessing and encouragement to my wife and I as we take this step forward, the step of faith. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're talking about that step of faith, that leap out. And I love looking at this as I came in. And I love the challenge that you've been laid for this month about being willing to throw out our usual routines in order to express love in some different ways. And there's all these different practical ways you can do that, inviting people over and getting out to your neighborhood and all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of what we're going to be challenged in today, hopefully. Or hopefully I'll challenge you and I'll bore you, but is taking that step of faith out of our comfort zone, not making excuses, but just taking that leap, as thus the title, By My Spirit, which we'll see shortly as we look in the book of Zechariah. But have you ever felt small or insignificant compared to something, so powerful? I know that your pastor loves to play basketball. I don't know if there's ever been a time where you faced someone that was just so good you wish you weren't playing that week. I have a friend who's a missionary in Vanuatu, and I've visited him 3 or 4 times now. And one of the times he took me to the island of Tanna, and this is the view from where we're staying. It is a jungle ministry. You find in that jungle will be several villages you find as you go. But that is the world's most active volcano. On average, it goes off every 13 minutes. And we were standing, he took me up to the edge there, my wife and I, took us up to the edge, and we are standing on the edge looking into the crater, and felt like you were right there and you were going to get hit. But you're about 200 meters away on the edge, and as it would rumble and you'd feel the whole ground shaking beneath you, and then all of a sudden that burst of amber, bright amber comes out, and it'd fly a good 200 meters above you in the sky, and you just go, oh, wow. Look at that. And then all of a sudden you hear the boof, 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 as the cool molten lava, some the size of land cruisers, are going boof, boof, and landing near you, which is why we stood on this side, because you have to go up there and you have to check the direction of the wind so you don't get crushed. It goes the opposite way. And it was magnificent. I mean, we were like, oh, in awe of it. And we stood there deep into the night, dark, and just hours just watching, just looking. It was amazing. But yet the fear that went through you at the same time. My wife told me not to tell this story, and maybe I'll regret telling it, but the week before we got there, there's no one there to tell you, stand on the left or the right, the wind is coming this way. A tourist had gone up on the wrong side. and the lava had come out and cut them in half because it went the wrong way. They were standing the wrong way. So this is, you go, wow, it's magnificent, but it is dangerous as well at the same time. And it makes you realize how small we are. And sometimes we can put a bit of fear into us. And being up there just gave me a glimpse of how powerful and magnificent our God is. And the year ahead, as we look at the year ahead, as my wife and I look at the year ahead, you look at the year ahead, this is your special month for you, your vision month, and as you're getting excited as a church is what God can do, and the future in general, it's unknown. We don't know what lies around the corner. My wife and I, we don't have it all together with this church plant. I'm not standing here going, you know, we have a 15-step program, and in 9 months' time, we're going to have 500 people, and you know, we have ideas and we have plans and programs and so on that we're trying to do, but we don't have it all together. We don't have all the answers. We could start, and even though we're quite confident, you know, that we're going to have this, and no one shows up. You know, we're learning on the job, taking one day at a time, trusting God that He's going to use us as we step forward. We surrendered to be used for Him, and so we're hoping, you know, that He will use us in that way. But whilst we don't have all the answers and we don't know what the future holds, we do know our mission and we do know our God. And so we know he is very faithful and He is very powerful. And I'm going to share something that I hope continues to encourage us, especially you as a church and us, as we go forward, as we plan for the year ahead, as you as a church family, as a church body, as you see what God can do for you together in this community and what you can... what you can do in reaching others for Him and each other. But in the Gospels, when Jesus makes notable statements to His disciples, you see when He says these things, and you've been looking at one of these in John, when He says, I'm the vine, and so on. But when you see these statements, and these are just a couple I've picked, you'll notice that the source of the power or the reliance, it's always Him. He never says, all right, I want you to go and do this and figure it out. You know, I want you to be stronger. Why don't you just be better? We never see that. It's just rely on me more. Trust in me more. Have more faith. And so some of these statements we have there, we got, you know, I am the vine, remain in me, and you'll bear much fruit. Not, you know, improve yourself. You know, be better at this and that, the other. No, remain in me, relying on Jesus. Matthew 4:19, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Look at Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. I, in verse 20, am with you always. It's always back to Him. And we see Jesus is the source of our power, the source of our ability in all these statements. There's so many more you could look at, so many more could have shown. It's all about God. And so many times when we look at the tasks ahead, and this year when you look at the challenges that face you, you're going to think, I just don't have it. We think we can't be involved. There's just not enough time in the week. I don't have the talent for that role. Surely there's someone better suited for that than me. You know, I'm not a real people person. You know, we use that as an excuse. Or, you know, isn't that why we have pastors on staff? Don't they do everything? We can't, you know, we can sometimes we see the need, we see the work that can be done. But we make excuses as to why we're not the person to do that. We see excuses as to why we're not the person that can invite someone around to our house, and that we're not the person to, you know, share some meals or to go knock on that neighbor and be that friendly face that eventually over time you share the love of Christ with them that can incredibly impact and change their life. We go, nah, it's somebody else. It's just too difficult. As we saw, though, that all those statements Jesus shared, He says, I'm the source of the ability. I'm the source of the strength. That cuts away our excuses. Because it's not about how good you are. It's not about how much of a people person you are. It's about how great and amazing our God is, how powerful He is. We look at the 12 disciples. And Jesus chose 12 misfits to follow Him. You know, if you think you have to have it all together, look at the people He chose. He added fishermen. It's not, you know, not an irreputable occupation, but it's not great either. It's a commoner's occupation. You know, it's the uneducated become fishermen. I'm not saying that today. All those fishermen out there, I feel like I'm just getting some evil eyes here. But then he had a tax collector. Tax collectors, man, they were hated. Israel is a occupied country. The Romans, you know, they're the ones in charge. And it'd be like me, or Australia, a foreign nation comes in, takes over Australia, which it's not that hard to do. But, you know, if someone came in, some of our neighbours, one decided, you know what, we're just going to take that. But they decide to, you know, they're going to line their pockets. So they're going to keep certain governments in charge, and they're going to be on top of that. And so in order to organise everything, they appoint me to go around on their behalf and collect the tax from each and every one of you. So you're already paying tax still to the local governors because, you know, you've got to run things around here. And then we're going to pay another tax to the foreign power who would like something for their effort of coming and conquering us. So I'm going to go around, and I've been appointed to come around and collect all the tax for this foreign power from you. You know, I would be seen as a traitor. I would be hated. You're helping our enemy. You're helping the ones that have got us in bondage. What are you doing? So he had a tax collector as well. He hated. And then you go the opposite end. He even had a zealot, which is the anti-government guy. The guy is ready to take out the Romans. So these guys weren't chosen for their incredible skill set, their education and their background. Now Jesus took the misfits and he taught them to follow him. And because they learned to trust and follow him, this bunch of, you know, nobodies would start the spread of the gospel across the known world. Why? Because they learned to follow Jesus. They learned to trust in who he was. We're going to turn, so you should have, if you haven't already, you've turned to the book of Zechariah. And we're going to look at Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah was a prophet. And one of the things that Zechariah did and prophesied about was that God's going to use a man named Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel was to rebuild the temple in Israel. If you remember this time, you may not know, but the Israel and Judah, who were two separate kingdoms at that time, both had been taken into captivity. And they were being in exile. One was with the Assyrians and one was with the Babylonians. And Zerubbabel is going to be let loose from Babylon, along with about 4,500 people to go with him, to go back to the land to build the temple again, the temple of God. And we see there probably would have been some real excitement. Woo, yeah, you got this team of people. We're going to get this job done. And by this time, it's been a while. There hasn't been much done in the temple here. And all of a sudden, maybe the job's got seems a little bit harder than what it was going to be. And nothing seems to have been, if we look at the context, seems like nothing's been done. Just there's the, you know, it's like Outer Banks of your Grove, and they've cleared all that yellow sand. It's just been sitting there forever. It's kind of like that, you know. Some of this, they've leveled the land and just sat there. It's been like years gone by, and to feel like, is this ever going to happen? And we get to Zechariah chapter 4, and God has a message for Zerubbabel through his prophet Zechariah. And verse 6, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, God bless it, God bless it. By now, Zerubbabel's thinking this is an impossible task of, it's just not going to happen. Doubts have surely got to have come. I thought this would have been accomplished by now. But it may seem like an impossible task, but God's got a message for him. I'm going to move this mountain. This is nothing. What seems like an impossible task, by my spirit, it'll be done. And to ourselves, the task can often seem massive. It can seem mere impossible. It can seem like there's a mountain facing us, and you know what? I'll go back home. I'm just not even going to try. But we've got to remember, it's not by our might. It's not by our talent, but by the Lord's Spirit that it shall be done. And when we realize it's not by our ability, it's not by our power, our talent, our effort, even though effort is a good thing, but through the Lord that the work is accomplished, the excuses start to melt away. They don't have a footing. You can't really say that because it's not dependent upon you. Why do you think prayer is so important? I see prayer is so strongly presented here at this church. because we need God's power. We need God to do the work. And we're just the lucky ones that he gets to work through. So it's not by our ability, not by our talent, but through the Lord it's accomplished. And we just want to be part of that work that's happening. Because I just get to be involved. I get to take a step out, and God is the one who does the work through me. That sounds like a great deal, you know? And I love this in Zechariah, when we think that that task seems impossible. Whatever that mountain might be, whether it would be the fear of facing your rejection, it would be the fear of, you know, this is going to cost me more than I realize. Am I going to give up something that I want to do this? Whatever the fear might be, and Zechariah thinks the task seems impossible, the Lord's going to move that mountain. He's going to take that, and he's going to do it. And you may want to try and figure it out in your own mind. Think, no, you tell me first, God, how you're going to move that mountain, then I'll do it. That's not how God works. You step out, you follow me, and you watch what I do. God doesn't need your talent or ability. He has all that's needed for the task ahead. He just wants your involvement. He wants your submission to the work. He wants you to take that step of faith and see what he can do through your obedience, through your following of him. So I had a statement here. A prayer and involvement are what is needed for us to accomplish the task ahead. As a church, there's so many tasks we have, but to reach the community, to help others in need, that's what's needed. We don't have a five-step program. We've got prayer and involvement. We pray for God's help and power, and we take the step forward. And that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to accomplish the task. It's accomplish the things that are ahead of us this year ahead. Pray and then step out by faith. And you'll see that this church will reach, you know, can reach your entire community if we all just do this. Simple. But then so is salvation. Salvation is simple. It's placing your faith and trust in what God has done, not in what we need to do. It's been done. And God keeps that same plan happening in our walk with him. I will do it. Just trust in me. Just follow. It's not because of talented people that we're going to make an incredible impact, although many of you may be incredibly talented. It's not through your talent, but because of the God we follow, the God who says that he'll be the power behind us. He'll be the ability. He'll be the one to move the mountains as we just follow him. Have you ever done something really dangerous? I feel like I'm not convinced some of you yet, so I'm going to try a different tactic here. Ever done something really dangerous? You know, skydiving, bungee jumping, whitewater rafting. Anyone danger-holic here? Oh, okay, all right. I did the safe skydiving. I did the indoor one, you know, where there's a net, because they had to crank that fan right up there to get me off the ground. But anyway, we did some crazy things. I remember, I did some snowboarding once and then dislocated my knee the very next day. I wasn't very good at that. Done some very crazy roller coasters. But the one I remember the most, the thing that sticks out in my mind is when I was 11 years old. And we're on a family holiday, and we're overseas, and we went to this incredible water park. I love water parks, I love rides and stuff like that. And this one, just to let you know that my fear is not made up in my head, this water park was closed down 2 years later because, you know, someone died. It's a bit dangerous. It's a dangerous water park. But we went there, and I remember there's this incredible flying fox. There's a 10-meter diving board, and at the top of the 10-meter diving board, there's a flying fox. No harness, nothing, and you come down across a pool about 25 meters long and you let go whenever you want. And so as an 11-year-old, I'm going, that's awesome! Yeah, I just want to do that. That looks amazing. So I went up there with full confidence. Stupidly went up there with a girl that I was interested in at the time, so I couldn't chicken out. And we got up there, talking it up as you do, and you get up to the top there, and yeah, it's my turn, and you... And the stomach drops, the butterflies, the stomach clenches, and I just wanted to back away and go back down the stairs, but I couldn't. Because she's behind me, and there's some other people behind me, and I don't want to look like a chicken. I remember getting there and getting the handles, and they're wet from the previous person. It's a bit slippery. I don't feel like this is safe. Maybe I should go back. You know, there's no harness. But I remember just in fear, in terror, as I waited for my turn, as you're up next, and my legs don't want to move, they're really heavy all of a sudden, and my stomach is in knots, And I get to the edge, and I'm there, and I look down, which was a terrible idea, and I'm just paralyzed with fear. And I can't back out of this, though, because I don't want to look bad. And I didn't want to do it. If someone had given me the opportunity, I would have taken it. I'd be out of there in a second. Going, oh, you know, cramp. Can't do it. Leg cramp. Hand, whatever. And I remember I got to the edge, and I didn't want to take that step, and I, in absolute fear and torment, took that step. And as I started to go, it must have taken, in sheer fright, it must have taken maybe 2 seconds when I went from frozen to absolutely, yeah, this is amazing! Going down there, flying down, letting go at a much more reasonable height from the water, and coming out. That was the best, knew it would be, and probably did it 4 more times, you know, all confident all of a sudden. Wasn't that amazing? Really forgot, quickly forgot how amazingly paralyzed and fearful I was at the top. But it's so much the way sometimes when it comes to following God. That first step is terrifying. But I don't want to talk to that person because they might say, go away. They might say, I don't want to listen to what you have to say. And there's that step where we're often so fearful and paralyzed, and but God, you know what? There's somebody else who could do this better than me. I don't think this is really my thing. I'm going to go on the kiddie slide down there. You know, I'm going to stick to not having a go at anyone, but I'm just going to stick to bringing morning tea on Sunday. I'm not actually going to go talk to anyone about you. I'm not going to extend myself too far. But we realize when we take that step, as fearful as it is the best thing ever. And all of a sudden, the fear turns into sheer joy and excitement because look what God's doing. It's amazing. Do you know what? God, you were right. This is good. And you are incredible. And you are the one who does it. And that terror turns to absolute delight as you see God's power working from you and you see him use you to affect others and reach others. You know, Ashley and I, we don't know what the future holds, what challenges we're about to face in Banksy Grove with the new church there. But, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because God knows. He knows what's happening, and we're just going to trust him as we go. As we take each step, we're trusting you, God. And so we can confidently take that step out. We don't need to know all the answers. Each one of us here, we don't need to know all the answers. Because if you know God as your Savior, if he is your God and you're following him, he knows all the answers. And you know the best thing about God? He does what's best for us. Sometimes we don't think that's what's best for us, but he knows what's best for us. And wouldn't you want to be trusting someone who knows the future and wants the best for you? Rather than, you know, we feel like we have to control it because we only know what we need. But he knows so much better than us. And as we do, as we step out in faith following him, this church, as individual Christians, God's going to do some amazing things. He's going to do incredible things in reaching others, in helping others, furthering his kingdom through us. And your own relationship with God will just blossom. And you get to see God's power at work in you, and you can go, wow, he's incredible. And you look at things of great power, like I did the volcano there, and you think, this is incredible and fearful, but you realize some of the fear doesn't go there because this incredible, powerful, almighty God knows you by name. You're a child of his. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants the best for you. And you realize he is the one worthy of giving my life to. He is the one worthy to follow. He is the one with the ability. So I'm going to follow him. I'm going to get involved and I'm going to follow him. And like Zechariah told Zerubbabel, it's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's by God's Spirit. You can look at the mountains you face and the things that you worry about, the things that, you know, you thought you'd never, never get over. And those mountains there, and God said, I'll move them. I will flatten that mountain. God will move the mountains as we trust and as we follow him. So I started with those statements from Jesus. I'm going to close with them now as well. And just remember, he's the source of our power. And he says, I am the vine, remain in me, and you're going to bear much fruit. You're going to be effective. You're going to do some incredible things when you remain in me. Come and follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. It's not come and follow me and do this 12-week course, and then, you know, improve yourself in these areas. I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to open the doors for you if you follow me. And then all authority, all power has been given to him. Therefore, we need to go. We need to make disciples. He says, I am with you always. As we get involved and as we pray, God will empower, God will bless, and God will use us. Thank you so much for having me here today. And I pray that you can pray for Ashley and myself and Ryan and Stephanie who are here as well, as our whole team, as the Grove Church, as we make that leap of faith in following God. You can pray for us, and we'll be praying for you as you make that leap of faith, as you follow God, as this church goes to extend your reach further for him. Don't let these excuses hold you back. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close. Lord, we thank you for your incredible power. What an amazing God you are. We thank you that you didn't leave us alone to figure this life out. Your salvation was done for us, this free gift offered to any who would place their faith and trust in you. And then on top of that, then this walk, this life that we have in you, you do all the hard stuff too. You just want us to follow you, to trust in you, and you're going to empower us, and you're going to work through us. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the incredible love and value you place on each and every one of us here. And we ask, Lord, you'll help us to take that step of faith in following you, to trust you more. As we go, we pray. Amen.